Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, one and all. Welcome to Meltdown Comics and the world famous Nerd Melt Theater. Harmontown is once again in session. Oh, yeah. Won't you welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon!
Yay, 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 yay! I'm Harmontown! Yo!
Thank you, Jeff Davis, our comptroller. Let's have a hand for his comptroller. What a fantastic person. And what a good group of people you are. And what a great country this is. God looking down on it, smiling and hoping it keeps moving forward. I don't have anything to talk about tonight. I thought maybe I could stretch that into something. Maybe my jingoism would be like taffy. I could stretch it to a finish line. But I don't have that much. What you got anything, Jeff? You got anything? You got any burrs in your boots?
I almost didn't make this show. I took a nap on my couch because we had brunch today that went straight to the drawing room. And we just drank all day long. And I took a nap and just like woke up and it was like 7:15. I'm like, geez, Louise.
I had to take a little nap today, too. Because we did brunch. This is the way. Yeah, this is my life. We did brunch and then I... And
we
then
really we, did it, too.
And
we
then
really
during brunch, you know, it's like, let's go get a drink.
God, I'm so dehydrated right now. I'm just like, my eyes are red. I'm puffy. I'm like.
But I got a dog now, which is, I think it's probably saving my life because I got to go home every couple hours just to make sure the dog kind of. But sometimes the dog is laying there in its crate, and then I'll come home and go like, "Come on, I need to run you around the yard," and the dog will be like, "What's happening?" And I'll wake it up specifically and then trot it around the yard and it'll just start getting energized and then I'll put it back in the crate.
There was a moment today.
Feels bad.
Because we went and had brunch and Dan had pancakes and even shouted out the word pancakes after having eaten them.
It was like a shrapnel. Like medic, pancakes!
And then we had a bunch of beers and Fernets at Little Dom's and then we went down to the drawing room and I overheard Dan saying like, "I could get an Uber car," which is like a car service, and he was talking about getting an Uber car from the drawing room to his house, which is seven blocks.
Yeah.
And just so you could go walk your dog.
Yeah.
And such is our level of trust and friendship that I let you drive my car drunk. I gave you my car.
When you say drive my car drunk, it puts a really fine point on it. I start picturing that in the TMZs and the Osiellos and the whatevers.
Okay, we'll edit that out then.
I drove Jeff's car drunk. I drove it up a tree and there was a gypsy in it. And I ran her over and I take that NBC. But I napped during Prometheus. I pressed play on Prometheus. Which I had already seen in the theater, and I just fell asleep listening to it, and I just had these like shitty prequel dreams, like just dreams about like people walking around going, one day there's going to be a dream here. But I got nothing. Let's do a little experiment because I got nothing. Let's follow the I got nothing thread Let's bring up our friends. Let's bring up Kumail Nanjiani. It's a nice summer evening.
It is a nice summer evening. How are you
and I got nothing. Baby, that's what, sit on the porch with me, won't you, Camille? And have a nice tall glass of country time living. Just rock back and forth in your chair and look out in a starlit field and worry about minorities moving in. I'm sorry, you don't know this. That's no. What you do on a porch. You're not familiar with this tradition.
They're racist? The porches are racist?
You can't have a porch and not be racist.
I feel like I felt that vibe when I walk onto a porch. I just kind of want to be like, you know.
That's what porches are for. They're racial outposts.
Yeah. I'm like, some of these people could work harder.
Yeah. Sort of sit out there and like just watch the people walk by and go and give them a subtle look like don't buy a place around here.
Yeah, I could see you with one of those kind of like plantation like big you know colonial columns out front and a
really
like a seersucker suit and a straw hat and a, drinking like some like lemonade and just being racist.
Thanks, Jeff.
Why is it so much fun to be racist?
It simplifies life. It's you know the same reason it's fun to be into astrology. There's 12 kinds of people.
Oh yeah.
I think there's 13 now. Didn't they find a new planet or something?
Yeah, and then they found out that everything we knew was wrong. So Tauruses are actually Leos.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we kind of read them and we were like, let's ignore this. This is weird.
Yeah, and all these people are like, you told me if I was a Capricorn, I should expect to find romance in the workplace.
Yeah.
That wasn't right. I married a guy in the copy room.
Yeah. Not a guy from the copy room. I married him in the copy room. I printed out the invitations in that room.
But there is liberation, too. I mean, primates have these dopamine things in their head. Like, we look for patterns.
It's way simpler. That's why I would, like, okay, this is going to get weird.
Let's
but
do
I
it.
Think for, like, at one point, I was very, very religious. And it was actually kind of easier. Just right. To be like, oh, some
order.
Yeah, this all of this makes sense rather than, oh, this person got hit by a car for no reason.
Even before monotheism, even before we started to really order things, even the people that we call pagans, the people that we call prehistoric, they still had order. Otherwise, we wouldn't even know they existed because they were they unlike the chimps and whatever that came before them, they were asked by God to think about shit with their little tiny monkey brains, and they're like, this is a lot of shit to figure out.
Yeah.
The fact that this guy's dead and that guy's alive.
Yeah, first of all, the
I'm
sun
supposed to
makes,
eat this deer, but also the deer was alive.
Yeah. And, plus the fucking sun makes no sense at all.
No, it picks and chooses when to come up and go down.
Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not.
Yeah, and when it's not, it gets cold, but sometimes it's hot. And then just when you think you got it figured out, you get hit by lightning.
Yeah. I feel like almost nothing makes sense, and then you're like, oh, no, it does make sense.
And then someone goes, no.
Listen.
Black people. Oof.
Right? That's something we can all
They're
get
bad
behind.
People. And then as a caveman, you go like... Ah, got it. I know one thing. Oh, I figured it out. I mean, it's anything. Oh, see that log over there? When you knock on it three times, it gives you a wish. Like, try it. Oh, I wish for a sandwich. Okay, there's no sandwich. You know why? Because you didn't knock hard enough. You didn't have faith. We occupy our brains with these systems. That's you go to Las Vegas and you see these fields of what? Awesome crap tables? No, because craps are actually, they're closer to chaos than order. Craps are the best bet in the house. If you know how to play craps, that's actually the best way to actually make money if you walk into Vegas with money. Not that there's any good way to make money. The house always wins. But the worst way is slot machines. There's a fixed percentage you're going to lose, but it's the most appealing because you go up and you pull the lever and the Addams Family guy says like, ooh, you win a jackpot. Triple diamond, and then you go triple diamond, and the thing spits out, and your girlfriend comes up and she goes, hey, we're going to the Hard Rock for the thing. And I almost got this figured out though. I push the two buttons and then the triple diamond comes up, and I've lost so many times in a row. I know that I'm going to win now.
Did I tell you?
And that is like racism.
I don't,
It is, though.
It is. It's a human slot machine.
Did I mention this on the show before? I have a friend that used to work as a slots person, like in Vegas. She ran like the VIP slots, and like she would take care of like high roller guests and stuff. And we were going through the MGM, and she saw a woman sitting at one of the more popular slot machines, like the MGM Lions. It's one that's been there forever. It's like it makes all the money there.
It's one machine?
It's a bank of machines. It's, okay. It's a row of this certain like brand of, okay. of slot machine. And there's a woman sitting at one of them, and it was a progressive one. Like it was like something like there's like a little tally of like money that comes up. And she looked at the numbers, and she goes, "Oh God, I want to go tell that woman to move one to the left." She goes, "That one's going to pay off soon." I'm like, "Wait, what?" Like she knows which ones
because it's numbers and probability and
she's
stuff.
Like, she's sitting at one that's not going to pay off today. The one next to her will.
That's crazy that just with numbers and probability you can predict it.
Oh, and also they can tune them up.
They're cheating. Okay. Yeah, they don't give the old lady any money today.
Yeah, also, they put ones that pay off a little bit more often in walkways because they want those bells to ring more because it attracts more people in.
Oh, that's like, so smart.
Yeah, it's really
you get sucked in like the intestines of an animal.
And also in Las Vegas, there's a thing where they don't allow you if you walk through a casino, if you walk through the floor of any casino in Las Vegas. You are not allowed to take more than a certain amount of steps in a row without running into a place to put money in something. You cannot walk in a straight line for more than like 10 paces anywhere. You have to. They need.
Oh, you have to like walk around a maze.
You constantly have to go. Ugh, like you have to be stopped by a thing that you could put money in.
Ugh, Sex in the City. Ah, Adam's Family. Ah, Transformers. What are they? Right. I want to know how they base that shit. People love the Transformers slot machine.
They're going for everything.
Like sometimes you see like a 75-year-old guy. Just cranking that Transformers machine. It's like, transform and roll out. Bing, bing, bing. Yeah. Just look at the guy like, you're not into Transformers. Yeah.
He doesn't know about Megatron and Galvatron.
Yeah. But then again, knowing that's not going to win you any more money.
No.
It's just kind of fun.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I've never been to Vegas. Is it awesome?
What?
Yeah, I've never been.
Oh, this episode, we're going to Vegas! We're floating through space on a green screen effect. Oh, here come those neon signs.
Vegas!
Time to land!
Is this a Vegas?
Yeah, we're landing on the strip. Look around you. There's Circus Circus. There's Creme Brulee.
You guys ever fly to Las Vegas from like Burbank on a Friday morning? It is
very sad.
What's known as the Stripper Express, because it's you and 40 strippers, all in like they're all fresh faced and they got their juicy suits on and they're looking good and ready to go. And then you fly back on a Sunday afternoon and it's just like the Cherokee Trail of Tears, man. And it's just a bunch of.
But they should be happy.
No.
They've been through hell,
but they just worked.
Rich. They're rich as Croesus, but man, they're just faded.
Oh, okay.
Faded.
There's like, it's hard work.
Yeah.
It's hard work. You have to give up parts of yourself.
No, I don't doubt that at all. I was just confused. Like I thought he meant like they didn't hit the mother load or something.
I'd never been to. I went to a strip club for the first time earlier this year, and really? I was with Emily, and I'd never been. We were in Portland.
You went with your wife?
Well, it was a bunch of us. It was a music festival. I won't say the names of the people I was with. So we went in, and I sat down. Had food. They had a full...
The fucking... The strip club buffet is one of the oddest fucking...
It's all over the place. It's Chinese, weird. But also there's, Italian
stuff.
Can
I get some more pubes in my coleslaw, please?
I think it's weird to put that much mayonnaise near that much...
mayonnaise?
Open... genitalia. Having worked in food service where there are no women like with their crotches above the food, you're still warned a lot about how the air around us is filled with all kinds of beasties just looking for a for a perch.
Looking for perches, yeah.
And there's a zone, you know. You got to keep icing that coleslaw. You got to ice that.
Well, they don't give
sauce.
They weren't giving a shit about icing the coleslaw.
Don't let these microbial organisms ever think for a second they have a shot at having
is this
children.
About black people again?
Maybe. But then to go into a strip club and like it's all dark and there's like a lady dancing and three feet from her crotch there's just crab legs and coleslaw. That's weird to me. Like, and imagine being how hardcore do you have to be into her crotch to not grab something on the way in? You know, like at a McDonald's or something.
Oh yeah, to be like, well, you only have to. You have to. Like, I want to eat and I want to look
shit.
At
well, I'll
naked
just, I'll
women.
Just eat at the strip club.
Yeah. I have time for one stop.
Yeah, I'll fill up there.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, sure.
That's gonna be a sad day when you're like, hey, the strip club food is not bad. But we were there, and I didn't know how it worked. So they were like, my friend was like, all right, every time they do a song, you have to go and give money. So their eyes were not smiling. They did not want to be there, these strippers.
Right.
And it was very sad.
Go figure.
The saddest thing is they're on the pole, and when the shift changes, the other woman has to come and like, she has to sanitize the pole, but they still try and make like a thing of it, like while she's cleaning.
Yeah.
At the car wash.
Yeah. She's like spritzing and kind of doing a little thing.
Put your hands together for wipe down. Here she comes, guys. Get your dollars ready. Wipe down's coming out.
If you've not been to Jumbo's Clown Room, I recommend that you go. Everybody, Jumbo's. Jumbo's Clown Room is kind of the last stop. Like Courtney Love used to dance there. If
they
that
call it
you,
the gateway to rock bottom.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like it's druggy in there. Like it's pretty. Like there's a lot of heroin addicts on that stage. And
what are the girls like?
It ranges. It used to be they kind of put a paint job on Jumbo's. It's a little tiny place. It's very small. You could buy a drink and tip the stage at the same time. It's really like it's very little in there. And don't touch anything at the Jumbo's Clown Room. It's unclean. And there was a girl that used to dance there, this Latina lady who was a dude. And
Latina lady who was a dude?
Yeah, an ex gentleman.
Okay.
Up there dancing around under you know a new identity and
dancing around under a new identity.
I think you sound more heroic.
I think
than
that's
it is.
The name of her autobiography.
Yeah. She had a bullwhip, and she'd come out and she would frequently hurt somebody in the crowd. Like you're like it's not big enough to swing a bullwhip in there. And she was constantly just like maiming somebody in the front row. And she would do a thing, and some frat boys would roll in because they'd read about it, and they'd heard that, you know, Courtney Love, before she started murdering husbands, used to work there and stuff.
Hey!
Huh?
She murdered one husband.
All right, I'm sorry. I take that back.
Just one.
Just the one. And she would do this thing. It was so good. She was kind of a rock star. She would light a cigarette. And then, you know, there's a little brass railing about a foot, you know, like kind of 6 inches above the, like around lining the edge of the stage to, I guess, keep her from going headlong into the crowd, you know. But it's a little brass railing, and she would light a cigarette and put it on, balance it on the rail with the lit end out, and then do a headstand. So now picture her on her head with her ass facing the crowd, like her, for her facing away,
sure.
facing out. And then she would do a back bend and pick up the cigarette with her ass cheeks, then press back up into a headstand and do smoke rings out of her ass. She would
fart a little.
She kind of, I think, just the air pressure flexing her, like flexing her ass cheeks.
I can't even picture it in my head.
She would puff smoke out of her ass, and then she would go down to a frat boy in the front row and put it in a guy's mouth and be like, yeah. And the greatest thing
people
in the world.
People died every week.
The greatest thing in the world is to be in the bathroom later on. You go, you know that's a dude, right? And they go, oh, oh, oh.
Because that's their deal breaker. I thought I was
Cary Grant.
I thought I was ingesting the fecal matter of a female stripper.
Not one that used to be a male.
Who's in pain tonight? There's a big flock here. Who's got? All right, there's a hand that shot up, ma'am, in the glasses. Are you willing to share your pain? Are you willing to share it up here? Okay, we don't bully people. You want to come up and come up here? I don't know why people laughed at that. I guess sometimes we do. What's your name?
My name is Miranda Harmon.
Miranda Harmon?
Yeah.
H-A-R-M-O-N?
Are you from the future?
I'm your daughter from the future.
She is
bad news. Exactly how I picture my daughter.
Bad
news.
I'm
to warn you. Season 8 of Community.
Don't eat mangoes.
Do you think maybe we're related? I don't know.
Well, actually, no. my family's last name used to be Hamburger.
Hamburger?
And during World War II, we changed it to Harmon.
Oh. Like so, the comedian? Do you guys know Hamburger?
Yeah.
Hamburger. Hamburger.
Wait, your family's last name was Hamburger?
Yeah. Actually,
awesome.
My parents are.
The hamburgers.
The hamburgers are here.
Are here.
What? Are you from Germany?
Yeah.
Did your family live in a hamlet?
Yeah? It's possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. My grandparents on my mom's side are German. Their last name, my mom's maiden name is Reich, R-I-E-C-K, but it used to be pronounced Reich. And they made a strategic decision to alter the pronunciation.
Oh,
that's
God.
A very common thing back then. There's a place in Wisconsin called New Berlin. It's just a town, delightful little town, great place to go buy some antiques, some souvenirs. New Berlin. We
Berlin,
had,
not Berlin.
No, not New Berlin. Berlin. It was New Berlin at one point, but
yeah,
it
but
became.
New Berlin.
I grew up. I was like, oh, let's go to New Berlin. Just make that decision at some point. You have to, otherwise you just start calling it, something else.
Yeah.
I like the Reich thing. That's
it's crazy.
That's a solid decision.
You know a legacy is bad when you choose the word Reich as a last name.
It was Reich all along. His name is Adolf.
So it's Maria, you said?
Miranda.
Miranda.
Yeah.
Okay. You said you nodded and said Miranda like I was right. like close enough. Not close enough. Call me on that. Miranda, what's your pain?
Well, I don't know what I want to do. I'm 21 years old and I feel like I went to the wrong school and I feel like I have no idea where. And I feel like the only thing I know how to do is make things and be creative, and I feel like that's the only way I know really how to connect to the world. And so I'm worried that I'm never going to be happy.
No. Well, if you're never happy, you could actually make money creating things. That's good business.
See, that's the thing.
Thank you so much for coming, Miranda.
I guess that's probably actually a really harsh thing
to say.
We
have a word for happy people in the creative sector. They're called welders. because they know exactly what to do and when to do it. And they sleep like babies at night. Everyone else is just like, I'm a horrible hack. You're 21. This isn't the first time someone's come up here with that particular pain. White people problems. You don't know what to do. You're 21. I could hit you on the head with a bottle, and you could be unconscious for 8 years. You would wake up, and you'd still be ahead of schedule. maybe that's me being 40.
Yeah. Well, you know,
but it seems like you could waste a lot of time. You got a lot.
You do have time. Like they say, 40 is the new 30. 21 is the new 11. do whatever you want.
If you're here with your parents, that means you have a support system.
Yeah.
So unlike a lot of people, you can. Your job, if you want to be a creative, is to kind of fuck around for a while.
Why do you say you went to the wrong school?
Well, I went to a liberal arts college, and it's lovely, but then I decided, I always knew I wanted to be like a cartoonist or an animator.
Yeah.
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 I look back there, Daffy Duck is sitting there.
Keep making us.
And I thought that by going to a liberal arts college, I would want to be something else. I would learn how to be like a doctor or a teacher or something different, I guess. I don't know why. But then it's my senior year, and it turns out I still really want to do animation, but there's no animation program at my school. And so now I'm kind of wondering what... Uh-oh. Oops.
Oops. You're feeling the embarrassment of like I don't know what to say.
Yeah,
and all
what sort of animation do you want to do? What's your dream job? Like pie in the sky. Don't embarrass yourself. Like aim way too big.
Like a storyboard artist on Adventure Time, something like that. Or a or a graphic novelist or something, something where I get to draw.
These things are within reach, and they don't pay much more than what you're doing now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a, where are you from?
I'm from Orlando, Florida.
Are you visiting here? Or are you living here?
My family and I are kind of taking a trip up the West Coast.
Really?
Looking at schools.
So you live in Orlando? You going to school in Orlando right now?
No, I actually go to school in Baltimore.
Okay, where?
It's called Goucher College.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gaucho?
Goucher.
Oh, Goucher. Right.
Yeah.
Well, but at least you get to be in Baltimore, right?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's really...
perfect view of Amsterdam.
No. Yeah.
I'm really lucky. I shouldn't say...
So you're touring up the West Coast because you kind of have a feeling, you're feeling West Coasty about your future, your college?
Yeah, eventually, yeah. Or where I live.
And your parents are cool enough that they're just indulging this pilgrimage and kind of...
My parents are wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
The hamburger!
That's awesome. What are their names? What are your parents' names? We're hamburgers, show yourself.
Yeah, they're right there.
You're the hamburgers. Wow, yeah, a guy that looks like prime sexy Sean Connery just stood up. Perfect.
Zardoz.
Yeah.
That's Zardoz Connery.
Yeah, like super duper, like perfect Sean Connery, like stood up in a denim shirt and flexed. there's other bad news there too. I'm just being an asshole when I say this, but
I'll be good.
Having cool parents, another nail in the coffin of creativity.
Oh yeah, no. Listen, my parents did everything right. I think I'm.
Yeah,
just...
that's the problem.
No. It's really good though.
It is.
Lena Dunham had good parents, right?
Yeah,
And she's a great writer. I don't know. I'm always jaded and go like I'm always making that joke like you have to hate your parents, you have to hate yourself, you have to be an alcoholic, you have to do all this stuff. I'm just justifying myself.
Yeah. Well, the hardest thing for me graduating college was up until this point there are sections of your life periods of your life have already been sectioned off. Like you're going to be in this grade, this grade, this grade. Then you're college for 4 years and after that, you sort of have to create your own periods, you know? Like, you don't want to be the person who's been doing the same thing for 10 years, and you're like, shit, I'm still where I was after college. But, I just sort of do what you want to do, and you don't... I don't think you need to go to school. You guys can thank me later. I don't think you need to go to a school. You could just... There's plenty of really talented people here, and you could go online and figure out how to do it, and then just start doing it, you know, and then see how it feels.
Thanks.
I mean,
she just excused herself. I love that.
Yeah, no, that's great. That bodes well for her future. Thank you, Miranda.
I would say... If you want to be a graphic novelist, change your name to Miranda Hamburger. I'd buy that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the war is over. It's.
I want to watch a cartoon, and I want to see a title card that says, created by Miranda Hamburger. And then I want to find out that was actually your name. And
I'm getting pretty tired of the word Harmon on stuff.
Me too.
Yeah. Garbage. It's like a low-rent Apatow. I just because we did Harmon Quest last night, and that's not gonna be the final title of what we did. This D&D thing where Spencer DMs and we play and we're gonna animate it. The working title for Cinefamily is Harmon Quest, and I suddenly realized, Jesus Christ,
you're like Batman.
We gotta get my name I said I think we can beat that title, and somebody was like, why? That's great, and I was like, no, I think this thing could actually be good.
Yeah,
I don't want somebody that could watch this thing having to think that they have to drink the Kool-Aid of some Kevin Smithy like the guy is there's more to it than that. The thing we did last night I think is going to be really, really amazing, and I would hope that it would please a lot more people that are capable of liking me.
We should open it up to the if you guys think of a good name for our animated campaign that we're going to do. We're open to suggestions.
Were any of you guys there last night at the... It was awesome.
All right. Let's bring out the lovely Erin McGathy.
Thank
Hello.
I was born, the new astrological sign is my new sign.
What is it?
Officius.
Officius?
Is it, that's Pisces.
Officius, am I pronouncing it wrong? Ophiuchus. What is it? Ophiuchus?
I know, right?
Adam Goldberg to the rescue.
Is it Ophiuchus?
Yep.
Okay, Ophiuchus, which is November 29th to December 17th, and I was born on December 5th, so.
So there's Ophiuchus. 13 signs now?
Yes.
What's the symbol of Ophiuchus?
There isn't one, because...
There isn't a symbol?
No.
Does it just say,
because
like,
astrology
TVA
is a made-up game. The symbol is a strawberry riding a bull.
But isn't there supposed to be an attendant constellation, that part of the sky? That
yeah,
you...
they don't just make those up out of, you know, thin air. They
kind
of actually do. They literally look to the skies and are like, hey, yeah, that looks like a bull. Does it look like a bull?
I think that means that myself and other people born during that time, where it's a wild card thing. I can just say maybe you people guys... born during that time are insecure but charming.
Maybe you guys aren't tied to a destiny and you can do whatever you want. Because the rest of us are on the tracks that are dictated by our horoscopes. But you guys do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I was that terrible guy in high school that would read the zodiac,
really?
Zodiac things to people. I would go, here, let me, what's your sign? And I would read a different one. And then get them to go like, oh my God, that's from that one. They get all flipped out. And then I read a different one. That's not you.
I think you telling them that is the bad part. Because otherwise it would just be for you. But this is also for them.
That's okay.
But,
no, I'm just saying I used to be that dick. And I've met a lot. Then I had a relationship with a girl who was so into astrology. It was ridiculous. And it was like, it was a challenge at first. Because I was like, come on. But then over time, the way I coped with it I would go, oh, well, actually, she's coping with life a little better than me in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah, it's those
patterns. Like someone would spill something on her new dress at a party, and she would go, like, well, it's such a Gemini. And not get upset, even though she was not, like, the most noble of people.
She sounds dumb.
Yeah, you'd raise a stink, right? Because you're not tied to any destiny. You guys can do whatever you want.
Yeah. I was a shitty person in high school who would interpret dreams.
Tell people.
Well, I read a like dream dictionary and then claimed that I was able to interpret dreams and would stand in a certain doorway and people come and tell me their dreams.
Stand in a certain doorway.
Yeah, there's a certain doorway that where the doors never opened, and I would.
The certain doorway where the doors never opened.
Yes.
What are you saying? What?
It sounds like Narnia shit.
Yeah, at my high school there was some door. I don't know if it was like a janitor's closet or something, but like. No one ever...
That's way less romantic than the way you described it.
What I'm saying is that there is this... enclave? Is that a word?
Enclave.
Enclave is a word.
Enclave. Where I would stand and people would come and
how did
tell
you
me
get in
dreams.
There if the door didn't open?
Well, it was like if there was a wall, then there was a part that went in. And there were doors there because it was a doorway, but no one used it, and I would stand there, and that's where I would interpret dreams.
A little recess in a hallway.
Yeah.
We're asking the wrong questions. She's talking about how she used to read people's dreams.
No, but
how did you stand there?
We're all armchair architects.
No,
yeah. How did you stand there?
Was there a load-bearing pillar there?
I'm just trying to get a visual idea, because before you told us where you stood, I pictured Lucy from Peanuts' The Doctor Is In Little Booth.
Okay. I was picturing a door that never opened or closed. I thought that's what she was going to say. She was in this closet. But like, how did you get in there? It was like an Agatha Christie riddle or something. Like, there's a puddle of water on the floor and a dead man in the corner and a peacock feather in his hand.
So it was a place where no one stood, so I stood there.
Did you?
Oh, that's very profound.
Did you feel qualified to do this? Did you feel like you had some sort of acumen?
Oh, there's some fucking tension happening right now. Between the two dream warriors.
No, I... Got it.
Oh, yeah. So you thought you were cool.
Who told you you had the right to do this shit?
Were you all born with it? Or?
No, I mean, did you read a book, or did you think that you had the stuff?
Yes, I read a book, and it wasn't diabolical. I really thought I knew everything. Also, like, I've always been a very sensitive person. So a lot of it was my own feelings about the person I was talking to. Like,
you are standing in a doorway right now.
Yeah, no, maybe that's you're a little self-important, and that's why you talked about walking up a stairway. But I had read this Dream Dictionary. It was an embarrassing thing. It's not a...
No.
I don't put it on my resume.
High school, right?
What's in a Dream Dictionary?
You can look up things like teeth, your teeth falling out.
What is that?
Money.
Money.
Is it really money?
Yeah, when your teeth are rotting and falling out, that's money. Money woes.
Well, I've also read it's health, which makes sense too.
I used to have
you're such a Gemini.
Those dreams all the time. Yeah.
But yeah. I think it's more. I mean, I think it's so much more personal than that. I don't doubt that there's. I think the reason why we think that there's these universal symbols is kind of Jungian. Oh, a horse means this, and teeth falling out means that. Is because things like teeth falling out probably does mean a lot of very similar things to most people. Yeah. But I think the bottom line is like you go to bed and your brain fires off like this random thing. There's just lightning bolts that race through your synaptic pathways. And unlike when your conscious mind is in control, it's just sort of random. It's like this pachinko machine. So there's things that are on your mind, and then there's just random chaos. And like you have these weird hallucinations that time is passing, that you have an identity, that you're encountering other people, that there are places you're going. But what's really happening is your brain is just sort of like... It's sort of like the tide rolling in over a sandcastle, kind of like just, or as I said, lightning going through pudding, and kind of just going to these different places. So you wake up and you go like, why did John Travolta drive that train into a mountain and then it exploded and that gave me the power to tell Bruce Willis to go fuck himself?
And then you come
you
to
can't
Anna
look
Gaffey's
up Bruce
doorway.
Willis in a book and go, well, Bruce Willis means strength,
but he does.
Bruce Willis means to me he does. Bruce Willis means something to that dreamer. Like,
so, Aaron, you were standing here in your little recess in the hallway,
mm-hmm.
and did you have to bark up a crowd? Was there a sign?
No, they came to me.
Did you have flyers put up?
No.
The little things they could rip off, and it would just say the doorway on it.
Place where no one stands.
It started with me just doing it casually, like in passing at lunch. And I also, like, I really thought that I was good at it. Like, I had read that dictionary and then just let it go. So I really was just pretending to be a therapist, I guess, in my own mind. But I wasn't bullshitting. I thought that it was legit. But eventually there was such a high demand that I had to find a doorway.
You probably were good at it relative to your other high school classmates because you're an intuitive person.
Right. In the same way that I insisted that I become a student peer counselor at my high school, I was like, if anyone has any problems, no one came to me.
Oh,
but I was
like
an official peer counselor at my high school, but no one ever came to me because they were adult counselors.
So you had two jobs. You were the peer counselor and you also were the dream interpreter?
I guess so.
That's pretty good. That's still like
there was a portion where I got really into hypnotizing people. I fancied myself.
What?
I read a bunch of books about hypnosis, and you know, like all hypnotists will tell you that there's no such thing as a hypnotic state. It's just a state of like enhanced relaxation and openness to suggestibility and stuff. And I used to go to parties with Matt Gourley, and part of being like hypnotizing people is you have someone else go up and go, hey, see that guy over there? The guy with the tall guy over there?
Oh, yeah, the liar.
Yeah, exactly. No, the liar number one. I'm the big liar. And then they go, yeah, he's a hypnotist. He can hypnotize you. And like, you find people that are open to that idea. And I would walk up to people, and I would go like, oh, like hypnotize me. And I go, okay, it's easy to forget things. So it's like even things that you know, like just for instance, like I could ask you a question that you know the answer to, but you might not be able to tell me the answer. You start waving your hands around a little bit and they start getting ready to be hypnotized. And you go like, you, what's your name?
Aaron.
See, I'm bad at it now. No, but I actually got to the point where I could do that and people would go like, And they would pretend to not know their name. It was really like, and then I would knock people out and make them think that like
so
all this.
So they've just hypnotized themselves. Yeah, they've convinced themselves.
Kreskin said he'd pay like what $300,000 or something like that if anybody could prove to him there was such a thing as a hypnotic state. You know,
I remember going to Pasadena to the Ice House Comedy Club because my Armenian plumber neighbor had won one of those comedy contests where they paper the house. And they brought him a limo and stuff. He's like, I got 8 tickets to the Pasadena Ice House Comedy Club. Motherfucker, we gotta go. And I was like, all right, I'll go. And we piled into the limo. We were literally the only 8 people in the Pasadena Ice House. And it wasn't a comedian, it was a hypnotist. And I had seen these guys, like identical acts that came to my high school and stuff. So I had gleaned this, what was happening. So I faked being hypnotizable. Like, you know, they do a thing where they go like, hold your hands above your head and now you can't put them down. And I purposely didn't put him down because I knew he needed somebody up there. I went up there and sat in a chair and did 45 minutes with this guy where he would go like, you're a Chinese rapper. And I'd go, chaka chaka ching cha 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 cha. Like I was just doing bad improv.
What's bad about cha 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 ching cha?
Ask Rosie O'Donnell. I mean it was in that case racist, and then other shit was like, okay, you're naked now, you're naked, and I would act like I thought I was naked. I was up there for full 45 doing this guy's act. He wasn't doing anything but wearing a gross suit and like suggesting that I. It was like no different from comedy sports, except for a lot of key differences.
Yeah, a lot of the stage hypnotists will literally like. I've had friends that went up there and were the guests that were brought up, and they'll go like, "Hey, help me out." They'll whisper to you like, "Help me out here." And you go sleep. Yeah. They just say like, "Don't make me look like a fucking dick up here."
Yeah, I bet that's most of it.
That's what
this
it
guy
is.
Didn't have to say that. The silence in the room and the empty chairs were speaking. That.
How was the limo ride back for you?
All of my neighbors kept going like, "Whoa, what did you? What was happening? Was it magical? Did you remember anything?" And it was like, "Well, I remember. I kind of split
the
difference.
Didn't? Oh, okay.
I was sort of like, well, I kind of felt like really relaxed, and I sort of just wanted to do. I threaded a needle where I didn't lie to anybody, but did this guy's act and kind of. It was really sad.
Yeah, the ice house is a dark place.
I remember it's never been darker than when I was rapping in Chinese. That was insane. Cheep cha cha cho, cheep chuda cheep cheep chaba do do, dip daba do. You can't say it's a new world. If the words ching chong or anything else came out of my mouth, fucking TMZ headline.
What do you mean if it came out of your mouth? You just did that.
I mean, I'm hoping that the absurdity of the context, like how surgical would they have to be to pull that out?
Not very. There's a solid 5 seconds.
There were people at the TCAs, and I said at one point, yeah, because somebody asked me, like, basically his question was like, don't you think you could be more successful if you shut up or something? You know, some kind of Pharisee question. I guess I'm doing okay by my own standards, and I say stuff, and I get to be on honest ground, and you know, that helps me sleep at night, and sometimes people can pull stuff out of context, and that helps them sell Bacardi ads, and that's fine too. I accept that. And then there was like the live tweet. Was like Dan Harmon blames the media for his out of context quotations, and it was like so meta. Like what are you doing? What are you doing? Stop it! Doesn't matter. I don't care. All right, so let's get Spencer up here. Let's get him.
Spencer.
Bring your satchel and your flannel jacket. Bring your beard.
Yeah,
and
I can hold it.
Hello, Spencer.
Sitting down.
Did you enjoy doing the show yesterday? It was a culmination of a lot of effort.
Yeah, I was freaking out.
Spencer is now, like, you came to the show one night telling your friends in the car on the way over, I feel like I should play D&D with Dan Harmon. And then that night I said, is there a dungeon master here? Because I had this thing, like, let's play D&D in the show. Flash forward to, we played D&D in this show. Yeah. Now we're doing D&D in this stop animated thing that we're recording. And you come over to my house on Tuesday nights.
That's what I was thinking about.
And we have a private session.
Yeah, I was...
It's almost and he's your assistant, so he comes over more than just on Tuesday nights.
And it's sometimes like... I'm just in your house.
But you have three D&D campaigns that are going on at once.
I was texting Jeff. Like, that was one of the things I've really been thinking about is, like, you get, like... Did you think when you saw me, you know, like, oh, I'm probably going to be playing three separate games of D&D with this person in the future?
I could do four, man. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I'm just two in this show.
Do you have other games that you play outside of our group of friends?
Better not.
No.
Do you? You do.
How pretty are they?
No. I'd tell you guys.
Would you?
Would you? Hey, you didn't tell us when we went into that room full of mirrors in our private session that all we had to do is smash all the mirrors.
You found a box of rocks in the room before.
We spent... Look, hey.
Yeah, but there were eight different colors of laser bouncing around the room.
We walk into a room, and it's a maze of mirrors, and there's a big ball of light in the middle of this room, if you can get to it, and it's shooting different colored lasers that are reflecting all around the thing. And if you reflect it back into the thing, it comes out different colors. And then we made a big white light that blasted a giant hole. And then there was a... Here's where we spent fucking 3 hours.
3 hours.
Yeah. 3 hours moving mirrors.
Holding up pieces of paper to the lasers.
Reminiscent of the first dungeon on Harmontown.
Dan kept sending his little snake... what's his name? Lassiter?
Dennehy.
Dan is a snake, and we kept sending a snake around to go on recon missions because it was low enough to not get hit by the lasers. And we spent a good most of our lives in that fucking room. And finally, Rob Sharp was like, I go into the room where the rocks are, and I take a rock, and I go boot, doot, 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 and I throw it at the thing, and that was it. Now, here's my problem with that, Spencer. Here's my problem. I think my theory is you let us out of that thing because you felt bad for us.
Okay.
Because there was a big mirror, and then there was a little side mirror on the wall.
That was directly facing the thing.
And you got all excited when we started getting lights to bounce back and forth out of that. Yeah. That seemed like a thing. And then all of a sudden we could have just broken it. There was a way to get out of that.
All right, what happened, Spencer?
Okay.
And Jeff has theorized the same thing before. Like, it's a big deal. Like, this isn't
not entirely wrong. I mean...
Yeah, you had pity.
The whole time, all of those mirrors were completely breakable, with the condition that they were enchanted and the shards would float up and slice at you as you broke them. But at the same time, that's how you get through. But, you know, you were doing the red, blue, green lasers and you were trying to get them at that same mirror. That was the solution, except you had them so they were separately hitting and all of you guys were holding up the mirrors. But if you tweaked them so they were touching at the same spot and all the colors combined into white light, that would also open the door. So it was double-sided.
We were on the right kind of path.
Yeah, and then you abandoned it. And I was like, oh, shit.
I wasn't there for that session.
How do you weigh in?
I'm having a tough time seeing this room in my head.
It was tough seeing it with the map I drew, too. It was pretty shit.
All right, look. Listen, tough guy. We're this is a new kind of episode of Harmontown. We're fucking rolling up our sleeves. We're going to D&D the fuck out of the shit. All right. Get your shit out. Get your dice. Get your pencils. I'm not even that drunk yet.
Well, Spencer, your wish to like play D&D with Harmon came true in like a monkey's paw kind of way.
Yeah.
Because it's like every waking moment will be D&D with Dan Harmon.
Get out your characters.
Spencer, do you ever?
Oh, can I say? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna change the topic for a second before we did D&D, but
no, go ahead.
I was gonna say this real quick. I don't think I've talked about. We were talking about the dream thing when you're sleeping and weird shit happens, like you know, it just your brain
like when you
firing
punch
off.
Your mom.
Guys, that was told. Why are you gonna bring up old shit? Literally, like many years old.
Do you want to know what that means?
What?
Kumail punched his mom when he was coming out of anesthesia.
I remember.
Okay.
I didn't do it on purpose. I did technically do it on purpose, but... I moved to the U.S., and I'll say this real quick. About my grandfather and I had, like, really weird relations. Like, we didn't get along. And then I was in the U.S., and he died, and I couldn't go back for his funeral. And I felt like, you know, we had unresolved issues, and I felt really bad about it for, like, a week. And then I had a dream, and I don't believe, you know...
You didn't believe in that Jeff Davis shit.
I don't believe, like, ghost stuff, whatever. It's like, but he came in my dream, and we talked... And then I didn't feel weird after that. And my brain, some part of my brain realized that that's what I needed to have happen in a dream.
Right.
To be able to move past that.
Yeah.
So it's not always like random. Like sometimes it's...
Not always random at all. I mean, because our unconscious minds are absolutely containment units and pathways to the things that are truly important. So that's why dreams, that's why we remember them at all, because they totally resonate. Like, we wake up and go, holy shit. I don't know if other people are different, but 9 times out of 10 when I wake up, I don't remember having dreamed at all. And then other people, like, every night, like, Aaron's like, oh, I'm dreaming. She's like a dream junkie. But I think the bottom line is that, like, if what happens in your unconscious mind resonates with your conscious mind, yeah. i.e. if this weird random kind of like Dragon's Lair lightning path kind of like creates a pattern that can mean something to your forebrain, then when you wake up, you go, oh, wow, that's okay. Weird that John Travolta attacked me with a pencil. What does that mean?
Fear of impotence.
It's just insanity. Other times it's like not even anything.
But I think the stuff that's brewing down there is definitely absolutely important. And there's a scientific and spiritual explanation for your dad coming to you in your dream, or grandpa coming to you in your dream and you resolving that. I think that's a place where science and religion both totally overlap, right?
I mean, it sounds like you've come to peace, like you came to peace with your relationship with your grandpa.
It seemed like you were doing a bit. Didn't it seem like she was doing a bit?
She's like, okay, move along. There's a long line. There's like 18 people behind
you. Will you carry my books to fifth period?
You're exactly right.
Oh, you were doing a bit. You were doing the dream interpretation. Okay.
I used to.
She was in the doorway.
Can I say really quick how that ended?
How did it end?
A friend of mine called bullshit and came to me with a fake dream. And I...
He Dan Harmoned you! Reading the wrong horoscope.
He gave me this really elaborate dream, and I took a long time interpreting it, and then at the end of it, he was like, I just made that up because this is fake.
Because this is too much power for one woman to have. Stop standing where no one stands. We're turning this into a Walmart.
Yeah.
My emotional experience with interpreting his dream and then finding out that it wasn't real made me never do it again.
It's fine. He was just lying to you.
And then later, I would just talk to people about their feelings.
Okay, can you interpret a dream that I've had a couple times?
Sure. Gay.
This huge...
Oh my God! It's like Batman and Superman working together.
No, because the obvious answer is gay. Because I had a dream. I used to have dreams once in a while that my dick kept coming off. It would just detach.
Would it go off on its own or was it dead?
It would turn to you and say, I wish I was in a butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Follow
a
me.
Butt.
Stop putting me in vaginas and put me in a man's butt.
Yeah.
I want to try to do this for real. And in what situation would it?
Well, okay. Here's the dream, and this is embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you. And I want you to interpret this. I mean, I don't think it requires all that much interpretation. I think it's just vanity, but. I was in a dream having a sex dream. I have a lot of sex dreams. I'm kind of James Bond in my dreams. It's fucking and fighting at all times in my dreams.
You also...
Are you fucking real women or...
Dream women.
Dream women?
Yeah.
Are they like, oh, that one looks like Jennifer Lawrence or whatever? Or are you making them up?
Sometimes they're actual people. Sometimes that's that kind of that morphing thing where you're with somebody and they kind of morph into someone else and stuff.
Okay.
But I was going down on a gal, administering the fellatio.
So your dream sex has like elaborate like foreplay and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right, absolutely. Oh, fucking last night, I said I had a great sex dream last night. Just some big tattooed Rocky Balboa chick just laid me up on a bar and just started sucking my dick right at the bar, and everyone was really bummed out. But I was like,
everyone was bummed out.
They were.
Oh no, I like this bar.
So I'm going down on this gal, and as I'm doing it, I realize that she has a dick, but it's my dick.
So you're sucking your own.
I'm sucking my dick on a girl, and the whole time I'm thinking she's all into it. She's like gonna come. She's loving it, but the whole time I'm thinking I don't want to come in my own mouth.
Right. You're nervous about your taxes.
Okay. All right.
and you can recognize your own dick?
Yeah, what is that about?
I see my dick more than any other dick, yes.
Well, does it wear a hat? What?
Sometimes it does.
It tastes sometimes like Fernet Branca.
Sometimes it affects a little cape and a smart cane.
I had a dream once
where
I was...
It has Calvin peeing on a vagina on it, tattooed.
Yes.
When I was like a teenager, I distinctly remember a dream I had where I was a woman and I was getting it from a guy.
You?
I was in my kitchen sink, and I was a woman.
How young were you when you had
like a baby?
I was a teenager. I was, let's say, 17. Like in the height of my like.
And a guy was fucking you in the sink?
Yeah, and I was a woman, and I was enjoying it.
I'm frequently a woman.
See, I made that up. I wanted to get him to...
Oh, in my dreams, I'm often a woman in my dreams.
Yeah, that's the name of this episode, by the way.
One time,
I'm often a woman in my dreams.
I forget it. What was,
I'm frequently a woman.
In one dream, I was Marianne from Gilligan's Island. I was getting fucked by the professor, but the skipper kept coming in and fucking bumming out our action. And the professor got so mad.
Listen to your voicemails.
Yeah. And then another time I was... who's the daughter on Good Times? Thelma? Thelma? I was Thelma, the sexy daughter from Good Times. Who remembers that sitcom? And I was getting fucked by JJ.
So you were doing Rule 34 stuff in your dreams before...
What's that?
Is it Rule 34? Is that yeah? That's the internet.
If it exists, there is porn of it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, so I was doing my own.
That's Rule 34 of the internet. If it exists, there is porn of it.
Yeah. Right.
I've never been a woman in my dreams. I feel like lame, kind of.
Maybe tonight.
I've never been close to a woman in my dreams. I've never even been anybody else. I'm always me in my dreams.
Not even the professor.
I mean, sometimes I'm wearing Professor Garb, but I'm still me.
Dan, you're saying you wouldn't recognize your own dick in a dream?
I mean, it's just this little guy. It's just, what is it? What is it? I see it from the top. It's just like a little pink choo-choo train. I assume it looks the same as Adam Goldberg's. I don't know.
There's only one way to find out.
If Adam Goldberg jumped
Adam, get
his
up
pants.
Here. No. Adam, get up here.
No.
No. No, we're kidding.
Oh my God.
If I saw it coming at me, I wouldn't go, that's my dick.
No, but I bet if you saw a dick that wasn't yours, you'd be like, that's not my dick.
Well, yeah.
If it was
gigantic and effective.
Gigantic and effective?
If it was half inside a very happy person, I'd be like, that can't be my dick.
I would always recognize mine because I have a horrible zipper scar.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, from circumcision, you mean?
No, they didn't circumcise me with a zipper, Dan.
You mean
his audition for There's Something About Mary.
You sliced yourself with a zipper?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, I've done that. That's the fucking worst.
And I was like 12 or 13.
Oh.
Yeah.
You scarred yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, like, did you get stitches or shit?
No, I told nobody. We're very repressed over there. I went to, actually, I wasn't wearing, this is the weird part of the story. I didn't wear underwear for way too long. Like I was maybe 13 when I started wearing underwear. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, yes, you do.
But,
too much to contain.
Huh? yeah, there's just a lot to contain. Let's go with that. And I had just discovered masturbation. And, well, I was, like, fucking so into it. I was having a...
It was pretty fun.
And when I was doing it, it became this game, like, how quickly can I do it, you know? So I would try and, like, go for the record. So this was, like, I think the fourth time I was doing it that day.
What is the record right now? Where does the record stand?
I don't remember, but I bet it's around, like, 7 or 8.
Seconds?
No. How many times in a day I've masturbated?
Oh, I thought you were saying the record of how quickly you could do it.
But that was part of it, too.
Okay. Yeah, if you're going to do it 8 times.
Yeah, I'm not here to, you know.
It's measured in blinks.
So I did it. It was like the fourth time, and we were going to this theme park in Pakistan called Funland. That was the name of it, which seems like a real, like,
well, on the
first
news.
Yeah, little real first draft name, you know? Funland.
Seems like a trap. Like, yeah. They're trying to lure Americans in.
Yeah, yeah, like trying to get kids. Like, yeah, Funland, right? Yeah, it's like fun.
You think this is how you have fun? You can just go to some land?
So I was like, I could get it before, and I was going with my cousins. I was like, I could get it before it's time to go. So I was in there, I was trying to go, and my mom started yelling at me, it's time, we have to go, the car is leaving. And so that makes it harder than to come, because I could hear my mom yelling at me. So I finally, like, fucking through sheer force of will, very proud that in these circumstances I could do it, so I got it done, and I just zipped through my penis. It was jeans, and I didn't have underwear, and I rode roller coasters all day.
Oh.
And I was just bleeding.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kumail's
comedy Aaron special is available on.
Oh, sorry. You should make Kumail a cake.
Zipper dick.
No. Wow. Can I get a penis that doesn't have a zipper scar on it?
You can't. Kumail, I shut my little brother's penis in a gate.
Oh. Jeff, so, what time is it? It's 9/11.
So many questions.
When my little brother was in diapers and I was a few years older than him, I was a toddler, I wanted to change his diaper to show my parents that I could change his diaper. And I yanked off his clean diaper and he was running away from me, and we had marble stairs and there was a baby gate at the top of the marble stairs.
That's the name of the story. It's called Baby Gate.
it was a little open, and he was running up to the stairs, and I was worried that he was going to fall down the stairs, and at the exact wrong moment, I shut the gate.
On his penis?
On his penis, and he had to get stitches.
Oh!
It was a terrible... And he wiped it from his memory. Like, we're really good friends.
Of course he did.
Yeah. We're good friends, and a few years ago, we both camp counseled at the same camp, and, like, at a campfire, I was like, well, there was that time when I shot your penis in the gate. He's like, what are you talking about? He had no idea.
And then he went in the bathroom.
His penis is fine.
And looked at his completely crooked
Is that why it looks
penis.
Like a corkscrew?
Yeah. Why is there a hinge imprint on it?
All penises are an L, right?
All right. Well, I'm glad we got to this place, because I felt like, as my own worst critic, I thought the show started kind of flat and stale and inhuman. I came up and said I had nothing. We got to penises, like specifically like their abuse.
As you guys are sitting on the real question, real talk, Jeff, Kumail, Dan, Spencer, as you're sitting up here, are you aware of your penis just sitting there? Like, because it's just there.
No.
Like, do you know it's there?
I am now.
Only when it
wants to play.
Yeah, which can be random. And when you're like 11, 12 years old, that's the thing that people don't understand about little boys is like, it's just happening The plumbing is just like we blame kids for like, oh, what are you doing and what are you thinking and what are you doing?
I was once in swim class when I was 10 and I was playing like chicken with this boy, and the lifeguard said, "Hey, you come out," and he came out and he had an erection. I had never seen an erection before, and he's like, "You're bad," and made him leave the
Yeah, not a good idea.
That is the worst.
Probably not that kid's choice.
That kid is a serial killer.
And that man was
I was at a, like, at my high school, I was watching a...
He kills lifeguards. I was watching a,
if we're lucky.
Don't moderate swimming. Yeah.
There was a guy in our water polo team in high school, and he got out of the pool, and, like, you know, like the water polo team, these guys were all, like, ridiculously good-looking.
Yeah, like, they're,
perfect
ripped.
Bodies. And this guy got out in his little Speedos, and he's like an Abercrombie and Fitch model, like, looking back on it. And he had a fucking hard-on, and everybody teased him like crazy. But, like, there were parents there, too. You know there were moms who were like, oh, yeah. Because, like, it was like, looking back at it now, like a hot 17-year-old guy getting out with a big boner. Like the kids, we thought that was hilarious, and we teased him about it. But you know there were moms that were just
getting it.
I mean, as a woman, I've got to say... I've never seen an erection from far away and a stranger be like, yeah, that'll do me good.
That's what mommy needs.
That's real rigid.
All right. Well,
there are cucumbers at the grocery store.
That wouldn't be sexy. Not sexy to see like a really attractive guy with an erection in his little bit swim trunks.
I mean, if I was a mom at a water polo game, I would have more feelings first. Like, oh, that poor kid. Like he's experiencing all these things. If I was an elderly woman who had like a pool boy and he's like, can I take a dip, Miss McGethy? And he swam around and was swimming.
What country is this guy from?
Please don't interrupt her. Okay. Let this play out. Continue playing all the parts, full accents.
I think it was Miss McGetty's turn.
Sorry. Continue.
He's cleaning my pool. He's swimming around. Miss McGethy, I just have to tell you, this is so embarrassing, but you're so pretty. It's so embarrassing. And I'm like, oh, come on, Javier. It's fine. swimming. Javier jumps out of the pool and looks down at his member, which is fully erect. Shy, he blushes and looks at Miss McGethy. Miss McGethy says, "Javier, it's fine. This is a safe place."
No, it's not.
Get out of there, Javier. Run. Don't look back.
Are you sure, Miss McGethy? I am nervous. I am so embarrassed. I saw you standing at the pool, and you're so smart. I had an erection.
Emotionally centered.
I was watching on YouTube. I saw your UCB reel. You were in some very funny sketches.
Also, I
had your cake. It was delicious.
I saw you interacting with people. It looks like you really listen. I had this erection. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to make it go away. Javier, come upstairs with me. I'll show you.
I'll make your erection go away.
I have a place. Talk to me for 5 more minutes. Can I talk to you about my dream wedding? And
you see it shrink in his drawers.
Do you want to have kids? I want to have 3 or so. I don't know. Where are you going, Javier? I just wanted to have sex. No, but I want a partner for life. Please. Please. Please don't leave me alone. You're freaking me out, Miss McGethy. Mom! My mom hated me! Please be my mommy! Please!
And then Javier's like, all right.
And then he takes me back to school shopping.
All right.
Who needs D&D? That was fucking...
Hey, Spencer, do you have any penis injuries?
Oh, yeah. Tons.
Anything weird ever happened to your penis, Spencer?
Yeah, you know. It went places.
Have you ever experimented and stuck your penis in a weird thing?
Yeah, like most of them.
Most things?
Most weird things.
What's the weirdest thing you've experimented with?
One of those Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle guys at the Meltdown over there.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What you guys don't know is that when you guys leave and everyone, they lock the door, Spencer hides under that little folding table. And he emerges, he's just fucking everything.
Turtle power.
Takes Donatello to dinner.
Day Tripper by the Beatles starts playing, and he just like runs around. He just humps everything. Every Alan Moore comic. All right, well, we were just trying to loop you in. Do you want to play some D&D?
I mean, I love doing everything.
Literally? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's do it.
Do you want to tell us a story or just do D&D?
What? I mean, I have stuff to say. Sure, I don't know.
Say it.
You'd like to play it.
I'm not saying it. Whatever. I used to interpret dreams in high school also. Yeah. It happened, that's all.
Did you have a doorway? Did you stand in a place where no one stands?
Yeah, well, no. I don't know. It wasn't anywhere near as formal as yours, but...
How was your high school experience? Did you enjoy it? Did you hate it?
It was really awkward. Like, my older brother was really... I mean, not, like, in a bad way, in a great way. But, like, my older brother was pretty popular, so, like, a lot of people that were older knew me, and I kind of knew a lot of different people, but I didn't really hang out with very many people. I hung out with, you know, like, my friends and stuff mostly, and we did weird
stuff.
That's
pretty standard.
Yeah. played video games and Magic the Gathering cards and...
video games. Oh, no, it was for Magic the Gathering.
Interpreting. I used to, sometimes in the high school, I used to like give like orations, like where you just start talking and my
like
friends.
Unsolicited orations?
Yeah, just... well, kind of. Just, you know, just start talking about stuff.
Out in the common area?
Yeah, like not like in plain view so people would come and watch, but I just, you know.
Just alone in the bathroom?
Were you ever in a doorway?
No, well, yeah, like right
when people come up to you and go like, "Hey, Spencer, talk about that light bulb."
Yeah, like, stuff like that, and I just go off on rants.
That was a thing with me too. It's like, do that Frasier talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it was just kind of like talk smart about that bulletin board.
That's what it was. Yeah. Just that. I used to dance for money.
Wait.
All right, let's play D&D.
No.
When we last met, no.
For really?
Can we see a little dancing?
Oh, what? Okay, what?
No, no.
Could you smoke a cigar with your butt?
Come on, Spencer. Let's see it.
This is an inside D&D reference. Yeah, fuck everybody who was expecting me to dance.
You would dance for money, like people would go like at dances.
I'd write down on paper like I will dance for money, and then I'd just be talking with my friends and holding it, and someone would be like, "You dance for money?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, sure." And then they'd give me a quarter, and I'd just be like, and then I'd stop. And then sometimes they'd be like, "Well, that wasn't enough," and you know, I'd be like, well, "Whatever." And then
did you ever suffer any in high school? Did you feel like you were like. Bottom rung, or
I mean, I got made fun of some, but
for being the guy who danced for money.
Yeah, I mean, well, just everyone has antagonists, and not like I wasn't like a lower beast. I don't think. I think a lot of people liked me.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're pretty self-aware.
You were like a known guy around the school.
Yeah. Well, it's like now, you know, everyone's like, "Oh, Spencer, that guy." Just look at him. No one talks to me or anything, but you know, they know who I am.
All right, that's the next T-shirt.
Are you becoming a little more extroverted now that you've moved to Hollywood and you're, you know, like...
Well, we were just talking after the Harmon Quest thing. There was that party and I was going to go and I was like, no. Like, we were actually driving there and we were getting off the freeway and I was like, fuck this! And then I just drove home. Yeah, so no. Nope.
So you don't like big social situations?
I mean, party specific. Parties are weird because, like, unless you have interesting, cool stuff to say all the time, people just walk away. And at a certain part in the night, like, people cluster up in these little groups. Like, you know, there's actually, like, a whole ethnology to, like, parties. Like, you could study them. They're really interesting. From the outside. But there's those little clustery groups that happen, and I have no fucking idea. Because that's when most people are drunk, and people are being, like, intimate, and be like, oh, I just don't know. Like, it's just growing on my hip. Like, people are, you know, talking about their problems, and I'm not in one of those clusters, so I just, like, wander around, and then I leave.
And you go into a cluster, and then it's like they're talking about something too serious. And you're
yeah, and on. Then it's just weird. Yeah, you don't want to walk in. You feel, yeah, you're fucking it
because
up.
Because you're not a big drinker, right? So it's got to be.
Yeah, that's
people
got to
seem like assholes when you walk up to that big group, and they're like, oh, but Rice Krispies, no.
Well,
Krispies.
I feel like the asshole. No, but there's like the mystical.
There was a point during the Harmontown tour, like a really sincere moment between Spencer and I, who I like you so much. Like
thanks.
Spencer really is like legitimately the coolest person ever. He's so fun to talk to and so nice and
Would you have him clean your pool?
So handsome and so strong. Yeah. There's a point during the Harmontown tour, like after like a few informal bonding sessions that Spencer and I had, where he asked me legitimately, like, is this friendship just because you were drunk when we were talking, or is it a real friendship? Like, is this just you being drunk and being nice to me?
Well, drunk people talk. Well, that's it. Drunk people talk. you can't stop them.
Well, yeah, if we were all sober all the time, then we'd never talk.
No one would just
be talking about the ethnology of parties.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to do the heroic move of getting sloppy and like talking about Rice Krispies in a big glop of
wine. The other night when I was drunk, told Yvette Nicole Brown that I'd really like to see her in a black rom-com and would not stop talking about it. And have to send her an email. I really, over and over again, I was like, I love black rom-com. Like, it's creepy for me.
Well, it's got, you know, it's like fire. It can it has its uses. It can burn.
All right, Spencer, shall we get this underway?
Why
are
not?
We okay?
I think everyone's fine. When we last met, our heroes were on the road to Fornheim, the frozen city. But the road was less of a road and more of a bridge. An ice bridge, to be more specific. To be even more specific, it was an ice bridge guarded by skeleton warriors wielding icy blades. After a vicious and deadly combat, Quark wrestled one off the cliff, while Sharpie and Mulrain teamed up and destroyed the other two. And after defeating their foes, a voice called out from within, "Welcome to Fornheim, the frozen city!" What they found inside was not dwarves like Sharpie had expected, but rather frost giants. Great blue-skinned humanoids living and talking, laughing and working in their giant city. After chatting with the most kind-faced of the giants, the gang was told to follow a group of skeletons directly towards the Jarl, who was the leader of Fornheim. And so our heroes went after the skeletons and met with the Jarl. The Jarl was most kind and was willing to help the party, but for a price. All of their fragments of power. But with so much riding on the line and their fight against Admiral Darkstar, would they really be willing to pay such a price and defeat Admiral Darkstar in his Black Keep? We'll find out. Next.
Yeah, I kind of... Yeah. We're having a sidebar here. The Jarl can't hear us.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, the shards of power. It's like the ring of power in the Middle Earth.
Yeah, in the
mythology.
Wrong hands.
Like,
in the wrong hands. That's bad.
We don't want it. It doesn't do anybody any good for anybody to have all of them.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. This guy's pretty powerful to begin with.
Maybe I should just talk to him.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, wait. Let me do this. I kind of straighten her hair and I unbutton a button on her tunic.
I don't know what my reaction to that would be. Stop touching my hair.
The Jarl is just looking at you. What is happening?
I mean, we were lovers at a point, at a time.
Maybe.
You don't remember?
Oh yeah, we fucked under your horse. Yeah, I got.
That is the last voice that I wanted to say that.
You fucked under a horse.
Were you drawing that?
I have 3 D&D games going in my life.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, go talk to the giant. But
what's the strategy?
Like,
What are you gonna say?
All right, I'll talk to him. Jarl.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, hey.
Jarl, we have the same interest you do, keeping the Earth from the clutches of Admiral Darkstar.
I'm there too.
Are we supposed to do it together? All right, I'll jump in too.
However, we can't leave all the shards of power in the hands of...
I'm off to the side doing the Wayne Brady improv game of doing sign language. Like
these shards of power are things we might actually need to defeat Admiral Darkstar.
Darkstar.
Not only that,
not only that.
I mean. I guess what I'm saying is.
I guess what we're saying
is. If your requirement.
I walk over to Wayne Brady.
If your requirement to help us.
Required to help us.
Is your own self-interest, then it's not called helping. It's called buying.
Buying.
We're here rounding up volunteers, people who are willing to sacrifice for the goodness of the earth, not people who are looking to make out like bandits. That's Admiral Darkstar. He's the one who wants to take. We want to give, but not
good
to you.
Good is for sale. The right thing is for.
I think we should tell him.
Sale. He finds it really hard to understand what the hell you guys are trying to say.
No shards of power. Zero shards of power for giants. Okay? Here's our offer. Help us or perish.
Oh no. No. Wait. Disregard that sidebar. Perish? Are we threatening them?
You don't come in with a cosmetic figure with these guys, you know?
While this was happening, while I was chiming in, I was transcribing everything he was saying, and I write it on my water skin and I offer it up to him, and I do a little wink.
We're waiting for you to do it.
Not by our hands. We know that your might is the most mighty. We know you could step on us like insects.
Yeah, I was also going to point that out.
But I'm going to tell you something that I heard in the 60s in Brooklyn. I thought that I could step on people because they were like insects. And then someone came and stepped on me because they were like giant insects. And then I realized that I was the insect.
That's the situation you find yourself in.
Sure.
Find yourself in. Can I finish?
No, well, I would just like to interject quickly. Like, so I guess the answer is no. I mean, what an amazing thing to be so much bigger than so many other creatures.
Yeah, it gives me a position of power over you guys.
Yeah, and I mean, wow. You are in this position where you have all this responsibility to be so good to all these other creatures, and that must be a difficult thing, and I have to say I admire you for being so diplomatic.
No, fuck you, motherfucker. You're bigger than people. Big deal. You know who's bigger than everyone? Admiral Darkstar. You know what kind of world we're going to live in if big people decide they can do whatever they want because they're bigger? A shitty world. And believe me, there's a lot of bigger people than you out there. And this tiny little fucker is telling you it's time for people to start doing things based on what they want and what's right, instead of what's based on the size. I'm a little drunk.
I'm so.
And if you start your happy life by stepping on me, I guarantee you it won't be happy for long. I promise you. We are here based on what's right. So fuck you, you giant fuck. Fuck you. That's what you get from me. A plea for help and a dick in your teeth.
A dick in your teeth.
My final offer. We'll happily walk out of here. We don't need your help if you're a dick.
He steps on you.
Shit.
Inspired, I grab Sharpie.
Wait, does he really step on
me? He stepped on me.
He's stepping.
Yeah.
I grab Sharpie's face.
You take 22 damage.
22 damage?
Yeah.
Who, me too?
No, him. He got stepped on.
Hey, I thought the speech was great. I thought he was going to go for
thank
it.
Thank you.
I thought he was going to go for it.
Yeah. I grabbed Sharpie's face and I passionately... and I
are you
I guess
still alive?
Yeah, well, I mean, if I was at full when I came in.
I mean, you took some damage from those skeletons.
Shit. Hey, guys, Sharpie died. Well,
yeah.
Is Sharpie dead?
Sharpie's fucking dead.
I think he might.
Yeah. I kissed Sharpie's limp face.
He just provoked a giant.
Dude, yeah. I thought it was a, you know what?
For real dead?
For last words?
Yeah.
What?
I have 35 hit points.
Well, okay. You're dying. You're not dead.
Right.
You're dying.
Oh.
I give him my sack and my quiver.
You see a giant blue foot come down on your friend. And it lifts up, and it's like a crater, and he's in it, and he's crumpled, and he's dying.
But I still have shit to say.
I jump in the crater, and I don't think I have any healing powder.
Why are you jumping in there, then?
Because I love him.
I run to Sharpie, and I say, all right, here's the deal. Sorry about the dick in your teeth comment my friend just made.
You don't run to Sharpie, you run to the...
I go to the Jarl and I say, look, we'll give you one shard. And on completion of the mission, we'll give you whatever you want.
No, let's not...
Don't give him shit.
He's already almost killed.
He barely breathed.
Listen, that amazing speech he gave, that can't be for nothing. He can't give the speech and then die, and then we do what they want. Right? You know what, sir? You take... You listen to me. And you take this dick in your teeth. Sir. Respectfully, sir, fuck you.
I give a broken thumbs up from my crater.
Yeah. Sidebar, with dick in your teeth, does that mean that someone's smiling and then someone puts their dick on the teeth? Like, what?
He's dying, Mulrain. He's dying.
I jump down into the crater and I start blowing breath into Sharpie and reciting old... What is my class?
Ranger.
Old ranger poetry.
Yeah, okay. So that kind of works. He's not bleeding so much anymore.
That's not what?
He's not bleeding. I mean, like, externally at least.
Did the Jarl have any response to my...
Oh, yeah, no,
he's
I mean...
cool with it.
That
he's
was
like,
also... Yeah.
He's turned. Cool.
No.
What?
He steps on you also.
Let's give him the shards, you guys.
He hates the dick in the teeth thing.
Stop saying that to
you
him.
Take 16 damage.
God
damn it.
Do the thing. The thing we did, but without the dick in the teeth part.
I say, look, you heard what my friend said. Please don't step on me. We'll give you one shard, and we'll give you another one on completion of the thing. Stop stepping on us.
No.
I yell up, also, the three of us have written a show.
We're gonna have to use our understudies because we're dying.
What does he say to me? My offer of one shard down payment.
I thought you guys were arguing about it.
I know. I say this to him.
Yeah, I mean, I want all the shards, and he's dying, and he has them, so I could probably just take them off of his dying body.
I take it taken aside with Christaberg and you.
Quark.
A little drunk.
Try to take him off my dying body, and I'm going to fucking punch you, giant dick.
No, miss it, bro.
Stay down, Rock.
Chill.
I don't give a shit, bro.
No, he doesn't know what he's saying.
He'll murder
sir.
You to death.
Gentlemen, it sounds like giant is... pride is his...
You know, all I hear coming into the city is might. Might this. It's the home of the mighty. Must be nice to be so big you can step on a person. That doesn't seem very mighty to me. Mighty is getting stepped on, bitch!
Don't, okay.
That takes strength.
I take my beautiful foot and I muffle Sharpie.
Oh, good, so it's fascism now. So your giant philosophy has trickled down to my normal size friends. Yeah, I said normal-sized.
I believe that we can defeat this giant by taking advantage of his ego.
Okay, value. Cool. How are we going to do it? He's dying.
He'll be fine. What if we suggest to the giant that we have written a show in tribute to him? And during the show...
This is what I have to listen to as I die. While, my friends capitulate.
While she's pitching this, I go to everybody and I take their shards and I go up to them and I hand the guys... Look, here's what you want. You want the shards so bad? Give us an army.
But also, before we do that, let's do that. We'll get the army. Can we also get some medical help? Like,
yes.
Can that be part of the deal?
Yes.
I spit on your medical help.
No! He doesn't know what he's saying.
I see one giant Band-Aid come near me. I'm going to piss on it.
Please suggest to him that we are presenting a show that is in his tribute. Perhaps one of us can come up behind him and kill him via neck or another place that
so
kills
many
a person.
There's giants here. There's, if we, it's
the
not
one that
one
we're
guy.
Talking to. The one that we're
no,
talking
to. No, but they're all going to come and kill us.
It's a city of frost giants.
Well, then we'll
have to fight every giant.
We killed.
Well, then part of our show will have an audience involvement element, like a comedy sports show, and it will say, everybody circle the hole. And then.
I give him the shards.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. So as you approach, he kind of like grabs them between his pinky and thumb, and with his index finger, he flicks you, and you just kind of tumble backwards.
What?
And yeah, well,
Spencer, how many giants are there?
There's just the one in the chamber.
Yeah, but
there's
so
just
many
the one.
Of...
There's just the one.
We don't kill the
guys,
giant.
Can we please just do a show?
With who? We got two dead people almost.
No, but the three of us.
Can I walk
fine.
Around?
He'll
yeah,
be fine.
I guess. Yeah, you're not dying. You still have HP.
Okay. Well, I'm still don't. I've had a really shitty day. I don't feel like. Having a fucking show for the guy who has killed our friend. Are you dead?
I'm not dead.
I'm
alive
ego.
Enough to spit a tooth at him. That's what I do with my round. I'm gonna die proud, fuckface.
What if we did a show about how
we're not doing a fucking show. We're not doing a show.
What if we did
Sharpie's
a show about,
dying.
Well, what if we did a show about how unnecessary it was to hurt Sharpie?
Can I go and use my healing power on him?
If you have any, yeah. Oh, you mean the skill or?
The vial. Do I have any?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you? Does it say healing anything?
No, it does say blue poison.
Well,
don't try that.
Yeah, why not?
Blue's a color of, like, fixing stuff. Blue cross. Blue shield. The police are blue.
Bluegrass.
Bluegrass is a great...
Spencer, what is the giant's name?
Limdahl.
I step forward. Limdahl!
Call him Jarl. Jarl.
He is a Jarl. That's weird. That would be like calling you a Pakistani.
No. No.
No.
It's a
no.
respect thing.
Cause really?
Because you call it Your Majesty, right?
Oh, I didn't realize it was a title.
Well, yeah, he's a king.
Oh, okay. By the way, being Pakistani, a title. You're a king. I don't know what I'm doing.
What does he do when I give him the shards? He flicks me?
He took them, yeah. He just has them.
So I say, "What the? Can we get our army now? Are we good?"
Well, I was just waiting for you guys to finish.
Jarl, I would like to present to you a show.
Yes, no.
I have a great show for you. You have thought previously that we do not respect your kind or your race, but...
I didn't think that.
Well, you can think it now, you big fuck.
Then this is a show to demonstrate how weak we are. First.
He's going to let us do it. You don't have to do this.
Yeah, there's no reason for the show.
Nobody wants to be in the show. Sharpie's is in a foot-sized crater right now.
Yeah.
It's a city boy.
Jesus Christ. Can I cast
David
Armlet of Winter at her?
Yeah.
I shoot my Armlet of Winter at her and shoot a Frostrate to stop the show.
It's really cold. Also slippery on the floor.
Okay.
And I'm cold. But here you are. No one appreciates you,
but we are
here to see where you will go. Where you'll go far. My friends here.
I walk up and slit her throat.
They are a lover.
I'm right behind you.
Are you leaving? Is that what you said?
No, he slits her throat.
Oh,
God.
Roll it, Spencer. Roll it.
No. When you were doing your show, you fell on your face because you put ice on the floor and it made it slippery, and then you're doing your routine and you fall.
After the fall, can I make a noise like da da?
Yeah.
Wait, do more of the show.
It sounds like you don't like my show.
I love it. I'm laughing so hard.
He just said he wanted to slit your throat.
That was part of the show.
What is it like being bigger than me? A book to you is a mesh book to me. Oh, God.
Jesus
It's the
Christ.
Other way around. It's the other way around. A book to you is like a match book to him.
That's, yeah.
We're still working on it. This is like a dress rehearsal.
You are so great. Please let us go. Please let us leave from this place.
She's gonna let us go.
She doesn't care, Kamel. She doesn't care. She's not paying attention to what's happening.
Let's go.
She's doing a fucking show.
Who cares? Please give me more supplies so I can make more crafts. I love crafts.
I'm going to attack you if you don't stop doing this. I'm going to take my sword out and kill you. I take
Let's
my sword out
now.
And I hold it up over us. I'm going to kill you if you don't stop doing this. Jarl, can we get the fucking army?
And that's the show. Okay.
Yeah, right. he doesn't applaud.
You don't say.
Yeah, no. He politely waits for this all to end. And
over.
I'm going to fucking kill you.
You know,
I'm going to kill you.
Every show ends and over.
Yeah.
He kind of holds up a finger. And a cloud kind of floats in the room. And he reaches into the cloud and pulls out a handful of onyx gems. And he crushes them in his palm. And you see kind of like magical mist float up. And then he drops it on the floor. And it falls on the floor. And it kind of forms into the shape of these skeleton things. And the room has like 40 skeletons in it. And he's like, yeah, here's your army.
40
hey
skeletons.
Guys.
Yeah.
What are your names?
All we get is 40
Let's
skeletons?
Do an
shut up!
Game.
Shut up! Talking to the Jarl. But I'll fucking kill you. Fucking had enough.
Leave it.
Yeah.
All we get is 40 skeletons.
Yeah.
That's it?
And your lives.
You're a dick.
Dude, don't. No dick stuff.
I'm in a bad mood right now.
I know. Look at you. Know who else was in a bad mood? Right there.
I hate to say, I told you.
Let's do an ice-breaking game.
We should have negotiated for how many skeletons we would get.
Let's just take... seriously, that's all we get is 40 skeletons?
What is the expression on their faces? Are they nice?
It's like a skull.
Can we have...
No, but they still have expressions on their faces.
No, the
skulls don't
bones.
Have expressions. They're just bones.
Tissue and muscle makes an expression.
You have to have eyebrows and lips and shit.
No, that's all tissues that
Why are we talking about the expressions on the face?
Why did she do a show? It's fucking stupid.
Okay, let's regroup.
Hey. Sharpie, how you doing? You all right over there?
I'm all right. I can't believe that if I'm going to die, the last thing I see is that fucking show.
I swear to God.
And my friends selling all our shards for 40 shitty skeletons.
Yes, it is delicious irony. And he just puts his thumb on you.
What, is he hurting him more?
Leave him alone.
You're dead.
I command the skeletons to attack the Jarl. There are
No.
No, wait.
Let's fucking talk for a second.
They killed our friend.
No, dude.
They killed our friend.
Yes.
Spencer, what do you mean?
Army, turn and attack.
What do you mean?
No.
Turn and attack.
Okay, all right.
Wait.
There's a lot of emotions happening right now. We need to chill out.
I'm gonna kill something.
Okay.
Well, can we figure out if
can
he's
we,
actually
first
dead? Are you really dead? What do you mean?
I mean, currently.
He looks so dead.
He's dead. Do
him,
a show.
I give him.
Sing him a song.
Kill this motherfucker.
I give him my life tube.
Oh, what?
Okay, that's a waste.
Is that a sex
Do you see
joke?
How his head is separated from the rest of his body?
No, not that bad.
Spencer, do you really mean that he's dead?
Yes!
Currently.
No.
Army!
Listen.
One of the three of us has
plan.
Healing. Do you have
this?
Healing power?
Let's have this.
No, I do not have
he's
healing
dead.
Power. I'm a barbarian.
Listen, you guys, this is what we're going to do. He's dead. We have to move on. We have to move
no!
on.
No!
Listen.
No!
Shit happens. Listen.
I don't care.
He's dead. He's fucking dead. This is what we're going to do. We're going to talk to the Jarl. We're going to say, hey, our friend is dead. Can we bury him? And then we'll plan a funeral. And then during the funeral, when everyone's there at the funeral, we'll kill
everybody.
I won't
leave him behind. I use my rope. I take apart like
Here we
a,
go.
Like
Here
a
we
small...
go. The rope.
I pull out a small thread of the rope and I weave it into a... I have taken off the tip of one of my arrows.
Jesus Christ.
You're making a scorpion weapon.
And I puncture a hole in the top of the arrow and I weave in my... Because his head's
Listen,
off, right?
Yeah, you're,
no,
his head
not.
Is not off.
It's not.
Yeah, someone said that.
No,
you
I said that.
Can pay attention. He's just got smushed by a thumb.
Yeah. Okay, your grief
well,
is...
Well, I use that, and I...
I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to kill you. I sew
hey,
together...
Jarl, she said that she wants to put her dick in your teeth.
I heard her say it.
She said it.
Heard her say it.
She said it. I heard her. You heard her.
She's been saying it the whole time. She's been saying it the whole time she's been muttering
In fact,
this.
It wasn't. She's a ventriloquist. She was making the dead guy.
Spencer, will you describe Sharpie's injuries?
It looks like a guy that just, like a truck dropped on him.
Okay. I run down. I find a place where he was injured, and I start blowing air, magical health air, into
I'm gonna kill you.
Whole...
I'm going to kill you.
Is she sucking his wounds right
she
now?
She wanted to put a flesh tube in somebody. I don't know what the fuck that is.
I think it was a life tube.
Life tube. That's a dick, right? It's a dick.
I think
life
so.
Tube
That's
is one of those fuckable vaginas, right? That you.
That's a fleshlight.
That's a fleshlight?
Yeah.
Okay.
I command the skeletons to attack, to join in the attack and kill the Jarl.
No.
I go into a barbarian rage, and I jump up on a pedestal, and I point down at him with my sword, and I go, he's one of us. You're now part of our campaign. Attack!
The skeletons are under his control and they don't do anything.
This is what I was saying.
As you jump up with your sword, he kind of just grabs you by the nape of your neck and he's like, "Now listen, man. We made a deal. I told you I would let you leave with the skeletons and your lives. And I'm a necromancer.
This is
and
a
I
bad.
Have power." Over life and death.
Okay, here's the deal.
How do we save
Shut up,
Moraine.
Shut up, I'll kill you.
No!
Shut the fuck up.
Sharpie.
I'm talking to the Jarl right now. The adults are having a conversation. Yeah, oh. Fuck it, my friend is dead, you fuckers.
Yeah.
Why don't you rape a helpless animal?
Do a show. I go down and I start fucking. I fuck the corpse of Sharpie just to fuck with her. Then I get back up.
It makes no difference in my previous opinion of your personality.
I say to him, shut the fuck up. I say to the girl, okay, we'll take your fucking skeletons. You have to heal him right now or I'm going to fucking lose my shit.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying before you so rudely interrupted me. I just kind of, you know, I enjoy this sort of thing.
Heal my friend.
I'm gonna.
Do it!
I'm gonna.
Stop being an ass.
I'm gonna.
Hey. Just he's gonna do it. We're all good. We're all on the same page.
Okay, really cool. I had no idea
he drops you to the floor.
This has been a real roller coaster.
I know. I'm gonna fucking.
But at the end of the day, our friend's gonna be back. We're gonna have our 40 skeletons. Okay. And we're gonna walk out.
We'll
remember this day forever.
Just do it. Heal my friend now.
He looks to the ground at the crumpled body of Sharpie and he points a finger at him and he grinds some more of these onyx gems between his finger and he's like, Necromantica, Deus Ex Machina.
I roll my eyes.
and you spring up fresh as a daisy.
Can I also make a suggestion?
Sure.
So you can heal anything?
I mean, no.
Okay. What about like a zipper scar?
I mean...
Down there.
Sharpie, I go to Sharpie, and I say, Sharpie, you were dead. We brought you back to life. All we got is these 40 skeletons.
We gotta spin it positive. He's gonna go off again. We gotta spin it positive. Yeah. Let me try. All right. We got 40 skeletons!
So fun.
You were dead, and now you're alive.
Sharpie, I was so worried you were...
She's so worried she did a show while you were fucking dying.
You remember it.
And then she tied a thing to a rope. It was fucking stunning.
We are forgetting the power of theater.
Can we leave?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
We're getting the fuck out of here.
Okay.
I go outside and have the most important cigarette of my life.
I linger behind.
Don't do it!
I want to be the last to leave the room.
Okay.
And I dust off my clothes.
He's like, hey, man, that was pretty cool. I'm just the Jarl. I gotta, you know, it's important to...
Keep up appearances.
It's important to be a man?
A big man in a city of big men.
No, you should try getting stepped on by a fuckface sometime.
Okay. And I call...
If manhood is your goal, you should try getting stepped on sometime, because that's the test.
Well, if you ever
you fuck,
I drag,
and I storm out.
I drag him out.
Yeah, we drag him out.
If you ever see any double giants, let me know.
If I end up, I'm sorry. What? What? Get off me! Get off me!
No, he's
talking to me. What? What?
I present a show poster.
If you ever find any double giants, send them my way.
If you ever find any double giants?
Yeah.
What? That's dumb. You speak gibberish. You already have a dick in your teeth.
What's a double giant?
It's a giant to giants.
It's like a giant to giants.
Oh, that's that. You know what? Dumb.
Wait.
We leave.
If we see one, you're going to come help us or what?
No, he was doing a bit.
He's improvising. He's a fucking giant. He's got a brain the size of a fucking canape.
Sharpie. Cool.
That's just not anatomically correct.
Okay. All right. Listen, you're great, Jarl. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We're going to go. Pleasure
We're
doing
out.
With you.
We should get brunch sometime. Let's go.
Enjoy your frozen city.
No.
Sharpie front gates.
Sharpie.
And it's shitty skeletons.
Get in the car.
One of these days, you're going to wake up and the earth's still going to be here. On that day, remember this. You're welcome. Sharpie out.
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everybody. We love you very much. One more time, Aaron McGaffey, Kumail Nanjiani, Spencer Crittenden, Miranda and the Hamburgers. That was an adventure. Holy shit. See you next week. We love you all dearly.
Thank you, guys. Oh, on Saturday, come to Google the thing at CineFamily. Come see the taping of this thing. It's really great. You won't believe it.